Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. Please take note of all the announcements at the end of the bulletin. There are a few things that are coming up here for late summer. One thing I do want to mention is Rally Day, and that is on August 28th. So we got several weeks before that. But we wanted to make sure that you're going to be here for Rally Day. I mean, there are a lot of events. That's the beginning of Sunday school, and there's a lot of events during that day, including a meal. But we are also having our congregational photo taken on that day. So we're going to have everybody together in one big group photo, panoramic photo. So, and that'll be right after worship on August 28th. So plan to be here on that date. One other note, too, today we remember in our prayers the family of Joyce Hafling. She died on Friday, and her funeral will be on Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. here at St. Paul. Okay. And Rebecca, you have an announcement?
Good morning. This morning in Sunday school, the children will be learning about several ways that people serve in our church: the stewardship committee, the property committee, the cemetery, evangelism and outreach, and some others. And we will end our time on a very fun part of the property, and you can probably guess what that is. If you can't, then you're just going to have to hunt for them after Sunday school. Next week, we will be meeting with Pastor to find out what all he does in his little office and the area that he has, and hopefully there will be some people here that are serving on the 150th anniversary committee to explain what all it is that they're doing to get ready for that. Thank you.
Thank you, Rebecca. Are there other announcements? Anybody else? If not, I invite you to rise as we sing our opening hymn, "We Praise You, O God." The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Holy is the Lord, the Almighty.
He was, he is, and he is to come.
He is worthy of glory and honor and power.
He created all things, by his will and to be.
Worthy is Christ, the Lamb who was slain.
Worthy.
By his blood he purchased for God
people of every race and tongue, of every folk and nation.
Christ made of them a kingdom
and priests to serve our God.
And they shall reign on earth forever.
Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. I confess to God Almighty, before the whole company of heaven, and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have sinned in thought, word, and deed, by my fault, by my own fault, by my own most grievous fault. Wherefore I pray God Almighty to have mercy on me. Forgive me all my sins and bring me to everlasting life. Amen. The Almighty and merciful Lord grant you pardon, forgiveness, and remission of all your sins.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Gracious Father, your blessed Son came down from heaven to be the true bread which gives life to the world. Give us this bread that he may live in us and we in him. Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We sing the hymn, "We Plow the Fields and Scatter." You may be seated.
The first lesson is a reading from Ecclesiastes. Vanity of vanities, says the teacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. I, the teacher, when king over Israel in Jerusalem, applied my mind to seek and to search out by wisdom all that is done under heaven. It is an unhappy business that God has given to human beings to be busy with. I saw all the deeds that are done under the sun, and see, all is vanity and a chasing after wind. I hated all my toil in which I had toiled under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to those who come after me. And who knows whether they will be wise or foolish, yet they will be master of all for which I toiled and used my wisdom under the sun. This also is vanity. So I turned and gave my heart up to despair concerning all the toil of my labors under the sun. Because sometimes one who has toiled with wisdom and knowledge and skill must leave all to be enjoyed by another who did not toil for it. This also is vanity and a great evil. What do mortals get from all the toil and strain with which they toil under the sun? For all their days are full of pain, and their work is a vexation. Even at night their minds do not rest. This also is vanity. The word of the Lord. The psalm is Psalm 49, and we'll read it responsibly. Hear this, all you peoples, hearken, all you who dwell in the world, you of high degree and low, rich and poor together.
My mouth shall speak of wisdom, and my heart shall meditate on understanding.
I will incline my ear to a proverb, and set forth my riddle upon the harp. The wickedness of those who put their trust in their goods and boast of their great riches.
We can never ransom ourselves or deliver to God the price of our life.
For the ransom of our life is so great that we should never have enough to pay it.
In order to live forever and ever, and never see the grave.
For we see that the wise die also. Like the dull and stupid, they perish and leave their wealth to those who come after them.
Their graves shall be their homes forever, their dwelling places from generation to generation, though they call lands after their own names.
Even though honored, they cannot live forever. They are like the beasts that perish. Second lesson comes from Colossians chapter 3. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever in you is earthly. Fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming on those who are disobedient. These are the ways you also once followed when you were living that life. But now you must get rid of all such things: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have stripped off the old self with its practices and have clothed yourselves with the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of its creator. In that renewal, there is no longer Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free, but Christ is all and in all. The word of the Lord.
Spirit of love, loving God, all of grace, on me. Spirit of love, loving God, all of grace.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." The Gospel of the Lord. May be seated, and I ask the children to come forward for the children's sermon.
Good morning, children. I hope your week was pretty good. I went to camp with the junior high kids, and I thought I could outrun them, outjump them, outswim them. I can't. I have too much energy, and I don't know where they get it from. So today in Sunday school, we're going to take a field trip to the stewardship group here in St. Paul Lutheran. And I thought, because we would do that, we should have another lesson on money. So, what can you buy with money? Tell me something you can buy with money. Go ahead. There's an idea right there. Just go ahead and say it, Aiden. It's okay. Something you can buy with money. Football, there we go. I thought you were going to say baseball. Okay, what else can you buy with money? Yes. Toys. Okay, yes. Perfect. Ooh, groceries are great. Yes. Clothes. Very good. Okay, what do adults buy with money? All right, think big stuff. How did you get to church? Did you walk? A couch is a very good one. How did you get to church? Did you walk? Did you ride a bike? What was it? It was a truck?
A car.
A car. A car. Very good. Very good. Very good. And where is it that you live? Do you just live in a tent or underneath a tree? Where do you live? You live in a? Very good. So with money, we can buy all those things. So the story that inspired this children's message comes from Genesis 14, I think. It is the story of Abraham and a high priest named Melchizedek. Abraham had just come back from battle. He won. He rescued his nephew Lot. Melchizedek was there after the battle, and he blessed Abraham. And he said, "The Lord be with you, and may he always protect your family, and may he give you abundant blessings." That big word, abundance, means a lot of blessings. And Abraham looked around and said, "The Lord has blessed me abundantly already, Melchizedek. So I, too, will honor you because you have blessed me. I'm going to give you 10% of everything." We're going to take a small pause. Today, we give God 10% of everything. This is what we call our tithing. You do this when you give your dollar in the offering plates, and the adults do this when we give our offering just before we come into the sanctuary. So it goes like this. It's the rule of 10. I have $1,000 here made up of 10 $100 bills. And the rule of 10 is I keep 9, but then I come over. I don't have an offering plate, but if I did, I'd put it here. and God, you get 100. Out of my 1,000, God gets 100. If I have $100, well, I keep 90, and God, you get 10. If I have $10, 10 $1 bills, how much do I keep? 9. Very good. How much do I give to God? 1. Very good. Now, thank you, Owen. Thank you, Owen, for pointing that out. So the rule is we just give God 10%, which may not seem fair because we're keeping a lot more. But we're not giving God money just because to say, hey, God, I know you don't have money, so here's some money. We're giving God money, just like Abraham gave God money, as a way of saying thank you. How many ways can we say thank you to God? What do? We come to church and we praise his name, right? That's a way of saying thank you. We can go to him directly and what's the thing we do? Oh, pray. We pray to him and say thank you. And that's our money. We give God our money and say thank you. Now remember, Abraham, he didn't have cash. So what do you think Abraham gave? He gave his animals. 100 cows. How many cows does he give to God? 10. Good guess. Abraham has 100 cows. He gives 10. Abraham has 100 camels. How many does he give to God?
10.
Abraham has 100 pigeons. How many does he give to God?
10.
Very good. Abraham has 100 servants working for him. How many does he give to God? 10. Perfect. And he gave to God because... Ah, very good. He gave to God to say, thank you, God, for providing for me. Okay, stand up. Face the cross. I'm so sorry. Put your prayer hands together. We'll say a quick prayer, and then Pastor Tim, you're up. Dear God, thank you for providing everything that we need. And as a thank you, we offer our tithing to you. Amen. As the children go and leave, I want to remind you one last time. This Friday, I rented out the Cuero swimming pool and splash pad. So if you have not signed up, please sign up. I need to know an estimate of how many people are be there, because I don't want to order 5 boxes of pizza and have 60 people show up. Some people are going to be hungry and left out. So I don't want that. So please sign up or let me know that you are coming so I can put you down on the list. Thank you, Pastor Tim.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. An inheritance can be a wonderful thing. You have a windfall of property or money. But sometimes it can be great trouble as well then too. Usually with an inheritance, that means that somebody has died. And if you are an inheritor, I'm pretty sure that you knew that person, and more than likely, you loved that person. And so there's that involvement of grief that is a part of being an inheritor. That you love the person, you would much rather see the person than actually have that inheritance itself. And it can also get very complicated with inheritances as well then, too. If there is no will or if there's no clear direction in the will, it can get all jumbled up between heirs, and there can be a lot of friction within the family, and particularly if spouses get involved or grandchildren and their spouses get involved, it can turn into a nightmare with an inheritance. Evidently, something like that was happening, and somebody approached Jesus as he was speaking to his disciples. Jesus, tell my brother to share the inheritance with me. Jesus' reaction to this is that he's not going to get involved in that. He's not going to be a judge or arbitrator in that in a case like that. He's not going to get caught up in all those details and everything else that's going on. But mainly, what Jesus is concerned about is that this guy that has approached him has not heard a thing that he has been talking about, the things that he had been saying. Because what Jesus was talking about is that the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is near. God is first in our lives. That God should be the very first thing in our lives. That the things of this earth, the property, the money, the wealth, anything else, come secondary. And if we have God first in our lives, then that also helps build our relationships with each other. And those are the most important things in life, is God and our relationships with one another. And so Jesus tells a parable. And this parable is quite interesting because, again, with parables, there's always twists and turns. There's surprises within a parable. Jesus tells a parable about a rich man. And it seems that this rich man knew what he was doing. He would be an honored and respected person. Even in our day and age, he was a savvy businessman. He knew how to do things. He was a great farmer. He knew how to work the land. He knew how to work his servants. He knew how to make everything in balance. And his fields produced abundantly. So much so that he did not have room to store all of his crops. And so he had a plan that he was just going to tear down the old. It's time to renovate to get rid of that old trashy stuff. Put in brand new and bigger and better. And then just relax. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. Enjoy all that stuff. It's his. He earned it. He worked for it. Now, you know, we look up to people like that. People who have been successful in life, the businessmen or the people who have advanced in their fields. We look up to those people because they have worked hard. They have the abilities. They have the talents. They studied hard. They have the wisdom to accomplish those things. And so we look up to them. But at the end of the parable, God says, fool. This man's a fool. So why did God call somebody like this who seems to have it all together a fool? Again, it goes back to that point that he did not include God in his life. That God did not come first in his life, but all these things came first in his life. Now you got to also look at here, though, what God is not condemning. God doesn't necessarily condemn wealth. God blesses us, and some of us he blesses abundantly. He gives us knowledge. He gives us wisdom. He gives us the ability to work hard. He gives us the drive to work hard. Everything we have in this life is a blessing from God. We have choices. We make our own choices. Some people make very good choices, very wise, smart choices of how to use whatever God has given them. But we all make bad choices along the way. Somewhere along the way, each and every one of us make bad choices. But to remember in those blessings from God is to remember God. To remember where they came from and who they actually belong to. And so it's hard to, in our daily lives, it's hard to remember God a lot of times. We get so busy, so caught up in work or at school or just in doing activities or enjoying life, and we forget who God is and what about God. And so we, too, need to be reminded to put God first in our lives. And there's several ways that we can do that. Obviously, you know one way. You're here at worship this morning. You're here listening. You're here participating. You are in worship, and you have made that a priority this week for this first day of the week in the morning to come to worship service. But then we need to remember, too, that God is present in our lives, not only on the weekends, not only on the Sabbath day, but also every day of the week. And so it's good to remember God each and every day. And one of the ways of doing that is setting a time or times during the day for conversation with God. Just to spend time with God in prayer or in devotion, in scripture reading. And one good time to do that is early in the morning. First thing you do when you wake up, is to do your Bible studies, to do your devotions, and that starts your day off. It sets a tone for the day. As you think about that and ponder that throughout the day, what did you hear in your devotions? What did you hear in your prayers? What did you see in scriptures? And that helps guide your day through. Or another time in the middle of the week or the day is at noon. When you come home, you take a break from lunch. You've already started your day and maybe things have gone well. You have time to give thanks to God. Or maybe things aren't going so well, so you have time to stop and pray and ask God for guidance. How do you solve these problems that are happening today? And then also to carry you through the rest of the day. Or another good time in the day is in the evening as you go to bed. To think back, reflect back over everything that happened during the day. What could you have done better? What do you need to ask for forgiveness? How better can you look forward to the next day then? And you can sleep in peace. There's different ways of connecting and remembering that God is first in our lives in all things. And to have God a part of that. Here in our parable, God is not condemning the wealth. He's condemning the fact that this man did not do or did not remember God anywhere in his life. There's no mention of thanks that the man had for his opportunity of gaining such wealth. And also, too, there's no sharing of the wealth that God blessed this man with. There are enough resources in this world. There's enough food in this world that nobody in this world should go hungry. And that's a fact. There is enough food in this world that nobody should go hungry. The problem is with distribution and also the hoarding of wealth or hoarding of food. Wars play a part of that as well then too. Food is used as a weapon many times. But we forget about God. And so people go hungry. People do without. People do not have adequate homes or housing or places. A lot of that is choices, once again. Another part of that is simply because of the distribution of wealth. We need to remember that God has blessed us with this. We need to remember that God is a part of our lives. It all comes down to two things, basically. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, and love your neighbor as yourself. I heard for a while that it was a kind of a trend to write your own obituary. And I'm not talking about people in their upper 80s or 90s or people with bad health conditions. I'm talking about young folks, maybe in their 20s, 30s, 40s. They were writing their own obituaries, not because they were sick or planning to die the next day, but because they wanted to write out what they wanted to be remembered by. And so if somebody wanted to be remembered as a great scientist who made wonderful discoveries that produced cures to illness or some benefit to society that raised everybody's level up, that's what they started to work on. If they wanted to be a great scientist, well, they needed to be working on it now. Or if somebody wanted to be remembered as a great community leader, somebody in this community who is well-respected and looked up to, well, then they could start now. Start being involved in the community, the organizations, the different things that happen in this community, helping their neighbors out. So think about it. If you write your own obituary, what do you want to be remembered as? As a good mother, a good father, a grandparent, a family person, a community member, a world leader, an innovator? What do you want to be remembered as? And start to work for that now, to remind you. God doesn't condemn this man for having wealth. He doesn't condemn this man for having plans. And plans aren't bad either. We all need plans and goals in our lives to work towards those things. But we also need to remember to have God in our lives. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, and love your neighbors as yourself. There is an ancient Jewish legend that goes something like this. There were two brothers who farmed two farms side by side with each other. One brother had a large family, had seven kids. The other brother was a bachelor. And they farmed. Sometimes they would help each other. Most of the time they kept their own, though. And the bachelor brother was thinking, you know, my brother has all these mouths to feed. He needs some help. And so he decided each night he would take a sack of grain out of his barn and go put it in his brother's barn. And he started doing that. But in the meantime, the other brother with a large family was thinking, you know, my brother lives all alone. He has nobody to care for him. What is he going to do in old age? Who's going to care for him? He needs to be storing up wealth now. So the brother with a large family then would take a sack of grain out of his own barn and in the dark of night sneak it over to his brother's barn. And neither brother could figure out why their supplies were not diminishing. They were always the same. They should have been less and less every time because they were continually moving grain. Until one night, they happened to bump into each other going the other ways. And they realized immediately what was happening. And they started laughing and they started crying and they hugged and there was great love. They realized the great love they had between these two brothers. As the legend goes, God looked down and he says, where there is such love, that is where I am going to build my house. And as the legend continues, that is the hill on which King Solomon built the first temple. God gives us riches. He gives us blessings beyond measure. But we need to keep God in our lives. And the only inheritance that we need to worry about is the inheritance that comes from God, that we will inherit the kingdom of God. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing the hymn, "We Give Thee But Thine Own."
We give thee but thine own.
rise for the confession of faith. In Christ, you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. And is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead. Amen. Let us pray for the church, the world, and for one another. Heavenly Father, you bless us greatly, even when we think we have very little. You give us life and breath. Each new day gives us a chance to repent, forgive, and share Jesus' love with another person. Help us to thank you for these things, to enjoy them rightly, and to share them generously, Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Fill the people of this congregation with wisdom and humility. Remind us that everything is done for you, not for ourselves, and that we may one day render an accounting of our stewardship of your blessings. Make us faithful, generous, and holy. Use us to draw many people into your fatherly embrace, Lord, in your mercy. We pray for your blessing upon our nation and for all nations. Guide our leaders with your spirit of wisdom and understanding, counsel and might. Remind them that they must give to you an account of how they have used the power and authority entrusted to them. Lord, in your mercy. O God, you are the source of all life. Where creation cries out in distress, bring relief and renewal, needed moisture or sunshine. Bless farmers, ranchers, distributors, and all who provide our food. Nourish the land and all its inhabitants. Lord, in your mercy. We lift before you the suffering and sorrow of your people. Heal wounds to body, mind, and soul. We pray especially for Martha Gefford, Arvid Severs, Lynn Magura, Hannah Emmenhauser, Mario Garcia, and the families of Joyce Hafling and Lenny Moore. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Heavenly Father, keep our beloved dead close to your heart. Comfort all whose grief runs deep. By the power of your Spirit, turn our hearts from the folly of sin. Keep us focused on Jesus and on his love for us. Make us channels of his forgiveness and grace, because so many people need them. By your mercy, bring us into your kingdom, where with all the redeemed, we shall praise and adore you forever. Lord, in your mercy. Hear our prayers, gracious Father, offered through the power of the Spirit, and for the sake of your dear Son, grant us all that is in accordance with your merciful will, to your glory and for the good of your people. Amen. We continue with the offering. You may be seated. Let us pray. Merciful God, in the mystery of the Word made flesh, you embrace our lives with your great love. With joy and gladness, we ask that these gifts may be for many a sign of that love, and that we may continue to share in your divine light. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Come, taste and see that the Lord is good. Jesus Christ, strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with spiritual food, the body and blood of Christ. All who come to you will not hunger, all who believe in you will not thirst. Empowered by this sacrament, send us back into the world to do the work you have given us to do, to share the gospel and be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Our closing hymn, "He Leadeth Me."
Thank you.
As you go forth into the world to serve God with gladness, be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all people. Love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. As you leave, you are invited to share the peace of the Lord with those around you. Go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.